Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Carolyn Yeager bringing you a new edition of the Heretics Hour. The date is June 6, 2015, and this is nighttime when I'm speaking to you. I wanted to do this program on the subject of a radio program that took place on May 30th, about a week ago. It was on Spingola Speaks, and the guest was Wayne Pronta, who is the publisher of Justice for Germans on the web and president of the Truth and Justice for Germans Society. As many of you know, I'm sure, I have been posting some articles about Wayne's activities, and I've done some programs, some radio podcasts about the same subject also, and it has created, of course, quite a stir for Wayne, and he's not happy about it. I didn't think he would be, and I expected that he would be coming back at me with something. He finally didn't seem to be too bad. I wouldn't even be commenting on it except for a couple of things that I wanted to address from what he said. Someone that I know told me about this radio program. Otherwise, I would not have known about it, and I would never have seen it. And this person told me that Wayne had answered all the questions that I had put to him on these various programs and blog posts that I've made, and that he was really mad at me, though. He was really mad. So I said, I'm going to listen to it for sure. And I found it, and I listened to it. Well, the first part, I don't think he didn't answer all the questions to my satisfaction, but he did bring out a lot more information, and I found it pretty interesting. And I'm glad that he did that. And I understand that he's mad at me, and I'm not upset or even hurt or anything about anything that he said. I just want to respond to his claim or accusation that I am engaging in a smear campaign against him. I do not consider that I'm engaging in a smear campaign against anybody, him or anybody else. A smear campaign, what is a smear? What I believe I'm always doing is looking into people who are involved in this truth movement and finding out what I can about them. And if it's something that I think other people should know or needs to be made public, I do that. It's always factual truth. I'm always dealing in what persons themselves say, what they've written, what they've put on their websites, and so on. I don't make things up. I'm not dealing in rumors and innuendo. To smear someone, you have to tell lies about them. That's what a smear means, a slander or a vilification. When you slander someone, you're telling lies about them. But if you tell the truth about them, but it's not something that they want known, or they don't think it's helpful to them, that's not a smear. To slander someone means to make a false or defamatory statement about them. That means, again, something that's not true. It's also described as a malicious, false, and defamatory statement or report. So as far as I know, I have not said anything false about Wayne Pronta, except perhaps, and he did mention in the show, he did bring it up that I had said he didn't speak German. But I corrected myself later. That was a simple kind of a mistake. It was definitely a mistake because I hadn't studied up enough about him when I said that. But that was the only thing that I know of that I would admit to as saying that was false, but it wasn't that important. So I'm going to read to you what Wayne said at the 2-hour and 2-minute mark, although these times that I have are based on the program that had all the commercials removed. It was a 3-hour program, which had quite a number of commercials in there. They were all removed, so that puts the times that I'm using would not be correct if you were listening to the program with all the commercials in it. Wayne was speaking about white nationalists whom he does not share all of their views, with whom he does not share all of their views. And he said, I have a lot of respect for Rodney Martin for what he has done in terms of his revisionist work over the years, which I really applaud and have learned a great deal from him. I've had some dealings with Kyle Hunt, but I don't spend time on the issues he covers, nor Rodney Martin's politics. What I haven't done is engaged in smear campaigns against anybody else. I don't do that on my blog. I don't go taking shots at anybody else that's out there. In fact, there are things that I disagree with Deanna on, with Rodney Martin, with Veronica Clark, and a lot of different people. One thing I've never done is turn around and gone on and launched smear campaigns against other people, okay? I just keep people at arm's length and try to keep a respectful relationship with them. Of course, Wayne's differences with people have to do with simple little disagreements on some point or other, and he may disagree with, he says he disagrees with Veronica Clark on a few things, but that doesn't stop him from promoting her books, and he has really promoted her books with quite a big effort, and particularly in the first year of his Justice for Germans, he did, but not, and he seems to have let her go for the most part now, but she might reappear again. But these are just disagreements in some little point or other. I have that too with people, and I certainly do not make a big deal out of it. But what I'm talking about is the person's credibility, all right? And it's the person's past in relation to their present. Like Rodney Martin had a past that didn't fit his present. And so I got interested in Wayne Pronta's past and asking whether it really fit the present Wayne Pronta or not. Now, I understand that people don't like this. They don't want their past, even if it's not very far in the past, to be examined. Now, if somebody does far back in the past is one thing. That doesn't count so much. But when it's the recent past, there's been a big shift. And then what they said and did in that recent past, I think, has bearing. And if you already have reason to question the person, then it's the right thing to do, to look into it, to look at it. And if you find things that you think are, well, the way I do, if I find things that I think are of interest to me, then I think they should be made known to other people too, because we need to be fully informed. It seems to be Wayne's position that we never say anything that we might disagree with or disapprove of in other people in this so-called truth movement. We just let that go by and not even mention it. What I think is behind that is that if people are in it for what they're getting out of it, not as enshrining truth for as many people as possible to see, they're not interested in keeping the truth movement as pure as possible, but they allow anything to go on so that people don't look into what they're doing. As Wayne has said, I'm doing my own thing, you know, and I don't want anybody bothering me about it. If you're not a part of my thing, just leave me alone, because I'm doing my thing and I don't care about what you're doing or your thing. You do your thing. Well, what I think is behind that is simply, I don't want you to bother me, and therefore I'm not going to bother you. And you do the best you can, and I'll do the best I can, and we'll see what comes out of it. Now, here's something interesting in regard to Wayne saying that he has so much respect for Rodney Martin and his revisionist work. And he also said during this program that he had never, ever contacted me. And he probably believes that. He probably forgot that he did contact me when he wrote to me at the White Network. It might not be exactly what you'd think of as a contact. I'm only pointing this out because the fact is that he did write a comment to a blog that I posted at the White Network on February 6, 2014, which again was that time that he had taken time off from blogging at Justice for Germans. I had posted something that I had written, an essay titled Rodney Martin in His Own Words. And it was an essay that I also posted, of course, at carolynyager.net. But I posted it at the White Network, too. And it was one that I had come upon some additional information from the Porterville Recorder. They caused quite a stir once I made them known, and I had just been looking further into that newspaper, and I came upon these. And so I wrote this article, and I started it out by saying, on March 15th, 2007, 2 months after he accepted the full-time position as tribal administrator for the Tula River Indian Tribe, whose reservation was close to Porterville, California. Rodney Martin penned the following in the Porterville Recorder, a newspaper in which he would continue to write, blah, blah. All right, so this was where he showed that he was a more of a liberal type of person, and he was multicultural and not pro-white. And he also criticized Adolf Hitler in very much the same way and made him out to be a bad guy in the same way that Wayne did in his not too long ago before he saw the light. And so Wayne wrote a comment, the very first comment on that page, and he said, it says here, Wayne Pronta, he gave his full name, well, 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 looks like another shill has embarked on the great journey of Germanic history. They are easily snuffed out. Good report. So he's telling me that this was a good report to make known this information about Rodney Martin and what he had said. He's commending me for that here. But when he says they are easily sniffed out, he's doing something I've seen him do since, where he tries to make what people are doing out to be easy. Because they are not easily sniffed out, because nobody has sniffed them out, have they? Of course, if you look, you're going to find it. But most people don't look, and that's what he himself is advising, not to look, not to look into it, because that's, you're smearing people when you do that. But I thought when I saw this that Wayne Pronta would be finished with Rodney Martin, but not so. So whether the fact that Rodney Martin was calling him a shill here, doesn't bother him because he still admires his revisionist work that he's done. He's done so much of it. Actually, very little revisionist work has Rodney Martin done, but so it's not disagreements on particular revisionist material, but it's the credibility of the person that we're dealing with. And what we want to know, what I want to know always is if people are credible. As far as I'm concerned, what I've done is to look into things that most people are not going to look into. They certainly haven't. Very little do people look deeper than the surface of the way a person presents themselves and find out if there's anything worth knowing. And I think it is. I think we should know all of that. And that's what I'm doing, and I don't consider it that I can be smearing anyone if I'm only telling the truth. This is the truth movement. People talk about the truth movement, but they don't want the truth to be known unless it's agreeable to them. If it's agreeable to the truth they want, then it's good. If it's not, then you're causing trouble and you're being divisive. I know how divisive I am. I'm told all the time how divisive I am. Not all the time, because a lot of people appreciate it, but I get that. That's the word that's always used. Well, Wayne finishes this up by saying that he advises people to go to the Wikipedia COINTELPRO page, and he tells them how to get there and what the URL is and so on, and read about what COINTELPRO is. And when they read all about it, and I think he mentions a few things about it, he says, then go to carolynyager.net and see what you see there. And he thinks you're going to make the connection that Carolyn Yeager is COINTELPRO, because I am doing what COINTELPRO people do. Well, this doesn't bother me, because I'm not worried, and don't get upset when people say that about me, because I know I'm not, so it just runs right off my back, really, that kind of a charge. And I'm not, also I want to say that despite what it might look like, I'm not trying to destroy him or destroy his what he's doing, or to destroy that justice, truth and justice for German society. If it can succeed, if it can accomplish something, that's fine. I'm only bringing forth what I've discovered about Wayne, and some of it troubles me, and that's just the way it is. It troubles me, but it's not made up. It's not false. At the very end of the program, right in the last minute, you might say, he says that he wants to tell the listeners that they should really check out the people who are making such accusations against him and what their real name is, and whether or not they have an arrest record and or spent any time in jail, because I can tell you a lot of them have. At that point, we hear Deanna saying, indeed. Wayne finishes up, however, I have not. So he's saying that people who are making accusations against him, they need to be checked out for things like giving a false name or checking out what their real name is or whether they have an arrest record and spent time in jail, because he thinks they have, but he knows they have, but he has not. This is what I would call insinuations based on nothing, you see, whereas what I say is actually comes from his own words. Now, when he says some of these people, he can tell you that they've spent time in jail, I think he's probably referring to Bill Fink and Mike Delaney, because I know that Bill Fink has, he blocked Bill Fink and unfriended him and so on. It made Bill Fink mad. So that's one kind of a, I imagine he assumes he's an enemy. And he's also complained about TrueTube that Mike Delaney created, and says that the people over at TrueTube have been attacking him and so on, and he doesn't have any use for those people. So he's bringing that in, bringing in the slurs that Rodney Martin's crowd started trying to use against me. Plus, he's joining that up with Bill Fink and Mike Delaney. Possibly, that's what I think, and whoever else he might have in mind, who have spent some time in jail. Well, let me remind him that Adolf Hitler certainly spent time in prison, and so have many fine people. So that's really not a mark of anything at all. It depends on what you put in there for. So that's all I have to say in response to Wayne's comment twice that I'm conducting a smear campaign against him. So now going on to the rest of the program, a few things that I would say about it, and I'll start at the beginning of where I found things that were of interest, which is actually at the 1 hour 37 minute mark. So I don't know what took place in the program before that, but I didn't think it was anything for me to talk about. But at 1 hour 37 minute, Wayne said, I began researching things on my own. I stumbled across you, meaning Deanna, by the fact that you'd been on the Bill Deagle show on a number of occasions as a guest, and you were blogging for News and Views, and I just really valued your information. What I want to say about that is that I thought, oh, she was been on the Bill Deagle show a number of times as a guest. I'll have to look for that. And I knew she had written articles that were published at News with Views is what it is, News with Views. And you know, that News with Views site is a pro-Jewish website. Deanna was contributing there from 2005 to 2010. I don't blame her for doing it. It's not really pro-Jewish, but they're anti-Muslim, and therefore they're not anti-Jewish. But they are maybe a little bit anti-Zionist. I used to look at it once in a while, but I haven't looked at it for a long time. But I went to see what Deanna had done there. I found her archives there, and boy, really extensive, very long list of articles that she published there. But I was really interested in her appearing on Bill Deagle's show after I'd been talking about Wayne's relationship with Dr. Deagle. Well, everybody was accepting him, although even back then I remember hearing comments by people that he was a fraud and so on, but no one in the so-called truth movement wanted to believe that or say, not whether they believed it or not, but they didn't want to say anything about it. And so Deanna no doubt thought he was just fine, like all the other, these radio personalities that she was happy to be associated with. So I listened, I found a couple of YouTube videos that had Deanna with on Dr. Deagle's show, and she was, no, it was just audio, you know, it was just audio with some images that Deagle puts up there. He must have an assistant. He must have people doing that for him, because all of his YouTube videos, and there's a lot of them, that are just audio, there are lots of interesting, you know, I mean, well thought out images that are put up on the screen the whole while that this audio is going on. So that's a lot of work. I know that. So somebody's doing that for him. He's got people working for him. But Deanna was just chatting away with him about whatever came up. And on the first one I listened to, he said that she was on his program twice a month. Twice a month she came on as the guest for the whole show, the whole program. And this one was 20th of May, 2010. So that was before she started doing radio programs on RBN. The whole thing with Deagle, and when Deanna was on there, they talked about, you know, the neocons, the Rothschilds, the New World Order, false flags, and disasters coming along, and financial disasters and other disasters, and always went back to the Rothschilds. So, and Deagle is very much, very biblical, gets into all kinds of biblical stuff, which is not a problem for either Wayne, was not a problem for Wayne back then, and not a problem for Deanna. But what really interested me, in which fits in with what I'm talking about in this program, is when she actually started with Republic Broadcasting Network and what her first shows were like. So I looked that up and I found an archive with all of her programs listed. And according to this archive, it was AFA, and it gave her first show on Saturday, October 23rd, 2010. So in that year, during the year of 2010, which was only like 2 months of it, she had no World War II or Hitler or Holocaust programs, Third Reich programs, anything like that. It was all about the New World Order, or maybe, you know, some related to health and things like that. And her first show about the Holocaust, as I went through this long archive, was turned out to be with me as the guest on January 13th, 2011. So I had already had been doing my program at Age of Reason for almost a year, 10 months or something by that time, and been doing this kind of material regularly from the very first program I did on March 1st, 2010. But now on January 13th, 2011, I was her guest for the first time, talking about my book, my little booklet, Auschwitz, the Underground Guided Tour. And I was the first one on her program to talk about this kind of a subject, at least from what I could see from the topics that were given. The second person guest for Deanna to talk about anything to do with Third Reich or the Holocaust was again me on February 15th, Carolyn Yeager was the guest, and on February 16th, the next day, Friedrich Paul Berg was the guest talking about Holocaust in some way, of course. And then on February 23rd, she had Gerhard Strauch, someone who she had met and liked, who actually lived not too far from me. They talked about the Versailles Treaty and Hitler. Then on February 25th, Gerhard Strauch again. Then we go into March, on March 10th. This would have been around my 1 year anniversary of being on the radio. She had Carolyn Yeager again, talking about my Hitler's Jewish grandfather article. Then on March 14th, Dr. Harold Rome talking about deconstructing the 6 million. On March 23rd, she had Gerhard Strauch again. And on March 24th, she had me, Carolyn Yeager, talking about Elie Wiesel. And on March 31st, she had Fritz Berg on again. So these were the shows that she did that had to do with this subject matter. There weren't any others. Nothing else on that listing was on these subject matters by anyone else. So, and then we go into April, and on April 8th, she had Carolyn Yeager talking about Katyn Forrest and Dennis Abbey. And April 11th, she had Eric Hunt for the first time talking about the last days of the big lie. May 3rd, she had Carolyn Yeager again, and this was the debate with Jim Condit. Then she had the Ernst Zundel Week, May 9th to 13th. On May 13th, she had Arthur Topham of the Radical Press, along with Hans Krampe, and that was the first time she had Hans Krampe. And then on May 20th, there was Carolyn Jaeger again, but this was the last time I was on because I didn't want to. I refused to come on anymore after that. And then on May 25th, she had Mark Weber. Then she started having Veronica Clark after that. But this takes us to June. And the main person that she had talking about these issues was Carolyn Jaeger on these programs. She had some others, but most often Carolyn Jaeger. And we got to be associated together through that. However, why I'm going through this is because Wayne Pronta says that he was listening and he woke up to things because he was listening to Deanna Spingola's program on RBN when she started it and the great guests that she had that he was learning from. Well, who could he have been learning from at that time but me? Certainly wasn't learning from Rodney Martin, who didn't come on to Deanna's show for a long time yet. So I think this is funny, you see. I think when I look at this, I didn't realize, really, until I looked at this schedule. I thought, well, my gosh, he talks about listening and learning from her guests. And if he didn't start listening and learning until Veronica Clark came on in June, the end of May, the very end of May 2011, then he was very slow in waking up to this, wasn't he? When exactly did he wake up to this? So let's go back to Wayne now and read again listen again to what he was saying when I first started taking it down, when he was saying towards the middle of the show. He said, I began researching things on my own. I stumbled across you by the fact that you'd been on the Bill Deagle show a number of occasions as a guest and you were blogging for News and Views, and I just really valued your information. I was already starting to research things for myself. When was this? In 2011? I finally got a copy of Mein Kampf and read it for the first time. I had abhorred Hitler, so I said, I need to get some guts here. And after I realized, okay, he didn't burn down the Reichstag. He didn't do a false flag at Gleiwitz. And I got to read what the man had to say. I was like blown away by what I read. And I started finding speeches and things like that. And I was, oh my God, it was a shock. So let's look at this. He says, after I realized that he didn't burn down the Reichstag and he didn't do a false flag at Gleiwitz, then he got a copy of Mein Kampf and read it for the first time. And he had said earlier in the program that he admitted, or maybe it was later, I don't know, but he admitted that when he was in Germany, he hated Hitler. He learned to hate Hitler more than ever because so many people in Germany hated Hitler and believed that he was responsible for all their troubles and for what happened and everything. And it was all blamed onto Hitler. And he blamed it onto Hitler, too. But when did he learn that he didn't burn down the Reichstag and he didn't do a false flag? Because at this point, until June 2011, Veronica Clark had not been on Deanna's program. And the only one who would really be talking about that was me. Well, Gerhard Strauch might have talked about it. Yeah, he might have talked about it. But this was still in 2011, not earlier. And he acts like he read Mein Kampf and he was just blown away and understood everything as soon as he read Mein Kampf. It doesn't really work that way either, unless you're already pretty well versed in things. Then he goes on to say, you know, I had tuned out everything on the alternative media for quite a while. And then I would tune in once in a while here and there to see what's going on. Lo and behold, I stumbled upon the fact that Deanna Spingola now had a radio show in the spring. It was hard to understand that part, but I figured out he said in the spring. He had a radio show in the spring with guests talking about these things. So it has to be the spring of 2011. And in the early spring of 2011, it was mostly that terrible Carolyn Jaeger who was on there. And it wasn't until June that even Veronica Clark came on. And the other question I have in listening to him say this particular thing here is that, why did he tune out everything on the alternative media in 2010 or thereabouts? He had gotten himself into a big position, very well known in the 9/11 truth movement. And then after his big success in Vancouver with that big conference, was that the time that he started tuning out, or what? Something happened. He hadn't tuned out yet, but something happened that caused him to absolutely leave that whole truth movement. That's what I read into this, because he was going great guns with that. And then he says he tuned out on everything on the alternative media for quite a while. This has never been explained. You wonder why. And then when he tuned back in again, it was about something different. It wasn't about 9/11 at all or any of the health stuff. It was about Adolf Hitler and the Third Reich. Very strange, I think. He says, that was really... He heard Deanna and her guest talking. He says, that was really fascinating to me, and bringing on many different guests to talk about these things. Oh, I just have to laugh, you know. When did these many different guests come on? Well, there were a number of different guests, but the ones he always mentions, Veronica Clark and Rodney Martin. Well, Rodney Martin didn't come on for quite a while yet, but that's the one he always mentions. Why doesn't he mention any of these others? I don't mean just me. Why doesn't he mention Fritz Berg or Gerhard Strauch or Harold Rome, who was on more times later on than the ones I mentioned? Why doesn't he mention any of those people? No, it's always three people: Deanna, Veronica, and Rodney. See, I just find that very odd. But he goes on to say, at that time, spring 2011, I had also come up with this film that was made in Germany that told the story of World War II from the German perspective. It confirmed many of the things that my own parents had told me, and even more. I worked on translating that into English with the purpose of narrating it. At that time, I hadn't heard or talked to Splitting the Sky in some time. And now he goes into talking about Splitting the Sky and gets real emotional about his death and doesn't continue talking about that film. Well, then he revealed that he was a German citizen as well as a Canadian citizen, because when he was born, his mother was still a German citizen. She had not become a Canadian citizen yet, which she eventually did. But he was the youngest, so he wasn't born until like 1958, maybe 1957. So she waited a long time to get her citizenship. But that means that he and all his brothers and sisters are all German citizens as well as Canadian citizens, which is a nice thing in one way, but in another way it isn't, because, as he says, he could be liable to be under German law for the things that he says. I wonder, he can't possibly be taking that very seriously because of the work that he's doing, which would be absolutely impossible in Germany or for a German citizen. I don't know. That's a big question mark. But he said, he made the comment that he didn't want to become another Ernst Zundel. So he didn't give his name, and he was being very careful and so on. Well, I can certainly understand that. But then at 1 hour, 43 minutes, he says, what you did, some of the guests you brought on, really inspired me. And I thought, oh my God, I realized even I had been brainwashed. I came to the realization that everything they said was a lie. Well, what I thought here was that during his 9/11 activism period, which went on for quite a long time, actually, he had already come to the realization that everything they said was a lie, because he spoke like that in the talks that he gave. He would say that he couldn't believe anything that the government said. That's why he believed everything that people like Bill Deagle said, or Dr. True Ott, another one of those fake doctors. He believed everything that people in the alternative movement said, because he had decided that the government and the official media and so on was only going to lie. So it wasn't a revelation that everything they said was a lie, but he may have still been holding on to the political ideas that he believed in, like that Adolf Hitler was a bad man and World War II was fought for good reasons or whatever. He may not have really come to terms with that yet. So it's possible that he's being sincere here. And when he came to that revelation, he decided that he should create his own website and put everything on it. That he was going to create his own website, all my own, at my own expense. I am a disabled person. I have a health condition that has affected my ability to work. I live in a shared house with other men. Well, now we find out that he has a lot of expertise with computers and that he's put up a lot of websites and that he's even an expert in the Linux system. And he even has a business now in which he advises people and helps people with their Linux computer systems. It all seems kind of funny that he acts, sort of sounds like was such a novice, but he was, even though he was disabled, he was going to put up a website. And then they talk about this job he could have gotten after he started Justice for Germans. He applied for a job in the 70 to 80 grand a year category. And he was a shoo-in, he says. I would have been a virtual shoo-in for this job because he fit all the qualifications that were asked for. But then he decided that, no, he had to continue with his website, and he wouldn't be able to do that if he took this job. So he withdrew his name. And so the idea that we're supposed to get is that he gave up 70 to 80 grand a year to do this great work that he's doing, and therefore maybe he should be compensated, you know, for all the sacrifice he's made. Well, from what he said earlier, he's only had menial jobs all his life. He's never been very successful occupation-wise. He was basically a security guard for whatever institution he got hired for. And he did other odd jobs and menial type work, really. Maybe being a security guard is not menial, but it's certainly not a real career, I wouldn't say. He goes on with talking about how humble he is and why he's not out for money. He says, I don't own a home. Live in shared accommodations with men. I put that in my own words. I don't remember how he said it. Right now, he lives in a house out in the boondocks, kind of. He wants to get it. He said people were harassing him. He moved out of this house that was closer to Vancouver, where he lived with one man, and now he's living in a house in a more out-of-the-way area with two other men. He talks about his health problems, and he talks about his mother's health. That's why he took off for that year, his own health problems and his mother's health problems and so on. He says, was talking about people attacking him, and Deanna's being very, very sympathetic. And he says it was white nationalists. White nationalists were attacking him. And he even said they were harassing his family. I cannot believe that anybody was harassing his family. I don't know, you know, he says people were trying to extort me. I don't get that. It doesn't ring true to me. And I would have to see some proof of it. He may feel like he's been harassed, and he doesn't handle it very well, I guess, but can't imagine that his family's been harassed. But he keeps trying to make out that he's trying to protect his family. And then at 1 hour 53 minutes, he says, I don't have any books to sell. I'm an Amazon affiliate. It's more work than it's worth. I've made nothing from it. And that's because I've talked about that he has that bookstore on his site that is linked to Amazon. But he's pointing out that he doesn't make any money, and you can tell he's irritated that anybody would be saying that he's trying to make money on this. He says he hasn't made a dime. Well, what I notice is when he gets on with Deanna, he really goes for the sympathy, and he really starts talking about how much he's suffered over this, that, and the other thing, and how tough it's been and how difficult, and his own problems that he has. He says that he's going to carry on. He's definitely going to carry on and with his society, and they have a lot of plans, and they're going to be trying to do things, and one thing they're going to do is have movie nights. And I thought, right away, it's Rodney Martin. That's Rodney Martin's deal. He's probably promising him that he's got all these German movies, and he's going to show them, you know, and they can have big movie festivals. Where? Up there in Canada? Maybe Rodney's going to mail them to him this time. You know, you have to see movies, at some place usually. So if this is going to be a Canadian thing, well, fine. That's great. I hope that they can convince a lot of people in Canada to change their mind about Third Reich Germany. That would be just great. So that is all I had to say about that program, apart from what I said in the beginning. And I just want to reiterate that there's something similar between Rodney Martin and Wayne Pronta. Well, I could bring out more, but here's one, that Rodney tells us that his grandparents told him all about Truth, that they were members of the German Bund and so on, and they were good Germans, and he learned from them because his grandparents raised him. They were like his parents. You might as well say his parents told him all of this. And yet in 2006 and 2007, with those things that he wrote in the Porterville Recorder and other things, he was expressing not only liberal views but anti-Hitler views and talking about the Third Reich or the National Socialism in a negative way to the people in his community there. And Wayne Fronta, kind of similar situation. Not as bad as with Rodney Martin, but he tells us that his parents told him the truth about things, and yet he didn't know the truth about it when he grew up, and he even abhorred Hitler until 2011. He says he hated Hitler. He thought Hitler was a terrible man. Now, why, if his parents told him how good life was in the Third Reich and growing up under National Socialism, why didn't he put a few of those things together? It doesn't make too much sense. So that's a big similarity between Rodney and Wayne. Another thing in this program, Wayne talks about going to college and all that he was able to, even though he dropped out of school at 15, and went to work for his father in building things, and he got into shipbuilding, he said, for a while, or shipmaking. But then later he said he was allowed to go to college. No, he wasn't. No, he wasn't. He got a 2-year associate degree in criminal justice. That is something that you take to work within the justice system or the police system or the correctional system. And it's not college, and you're not going to get college courses in that 2 years. And I looked up some things about it. It says the Associate of Arts in Criminal Justice empowers students with a solid foundation in criminal justice theories by increasing their knowledge of legal issues, law enforcement objectives, administrative functions, and the impact of terrorism. Classes are taught by practitioner instructors, many who have served as sheriffs, legal counsel, police chiefs, military, and homeland security officers. That's what he was capable of doing. I'm going to bypass the carrot bar business and go on to say a few things about table talk. Speaking of why we would have greater disagreements with people than just simple saying, well, you think about it your way and I'll think about it my way, and we're still friends and, you know, even associates and so on, and that's just fine. Well, this is an example. What Wayne says about the book Table Talk, Hitler's Table Talk, is an example for me of why it's important. In August 2013, he posted an article on his Justice for Germans blog, written by someone else, a Canadian revisionist. It's really an article about, it's a lie that the National Socialism was anti-Christian and that talking about how pro-Christian it was. That's the basic thrust of it. But in the first paragraph, this writer says, one of the big lies spread about National Socialism is that the so-called Nazis were anti-Christian and heathens. But as with everything else told about NS, this is also a filthy lie. Adolf Hitler is quoted in the table talks discussing religion and bemoaning the fact that Christianity had sold its soul to Jewry. While that book is dubious for a number of reasons, there is no Judeo-Christianity. Both are separate religions amalgamated early on in a marriage of purpose with self-described Jews in control. Well, this paragraph doesn't make a lot of sense, but the rest of it makes sense as to what it's trying to get across. But he does say here that table talk is dubious for a number of reasons. It doesn't come up again in this whole article, which is all about, as I said, how Christian National Socialism was. But after this article, Wayne writes some notes, and he says, if you want to understand why the table talks, of course, it's not table talks, it's table talk. People who call it table talks are just showing basically their ignorance of it. And that's what Wayne is doing here. I doubt he's ever read it. But he says, if you want to understand why they are dubious and unreliable, he added the word unreliable to the writer's word dubious, Be sure to download and read this free PDF booklet. And he links this to something on the internet by Jim Walker. And it is called Hitler's Table Talk and Christianity. And it's by Jim Walker of NoBeliefs.com. It's a fairly long bunch of information. And Jim Walker is a free thinker who sees Hitler as a bad figure in history and wants him to be a Christian because he hates Christianity. He makes fun of it. He doesn't like it. He thinks it's foolish, and people who believe things, it's called no belief. So if you believe something, you're a fool because you try to find out, but you don't believe things. And this is just like Richard Carrier, the atheist, who is also used to put down, to say that table talk does not contain Hitler's real words for the same reasons, for the Christianity passages for the most part. And there's a lot of them in table talk. Now, what is in this PDF that Wayne Pronta is recommending is just one section of this big website that Jim Walker has put together called NoBelief.com. And this section is titled Hitler's Christianity. And it's described this way. Hitler acted like Christians of the past and present. Got that? Hitler acted like Christians of the past and present. His actions agree with many God-ordained horrors of the Bible. These articles use Hitler's own words to prove his Christianity and show how the churches supported Hitler's regime. See, this is what this guy has in mind. He doesn't think like Wayne Pronta does. He's the opposite of Wayne Pronta. He doesn't like Hitler, and he thinks that the Bible contains all kinds of horrors which are ordained by the Christian God. So therefore, he says that his articles are using Hitler's words to prove that he was a Christian and that the Christian churches supported his regime. Well, it's not altogether true at all, but this is what he's trying to show because he has this agenda. He has this anti-Christian agenda. It's not scholarship. And neither does Richard Carrier use scholarship. Yeah, they're tricking people when they put these things together. But the Christians like it because they don't like table talk. But here's the thing, that these Christians are using these non-Christians who hate Christians as a source for this, try to get people to believe that it's the case. So it's really quite an amazing thing. I think it would be much better to accept table talk because you can see that when Hitler says a lot of these things, what he's really getting at. The fact that Wayne Pronta considers himself and wants people to consider him as an expert on National Socialism and Adolf Hitler now, in the short time that he has seen the light and started reading things, and what he's put on his Justice for Germans blog is a lot of it is very good stuff. One thing is mine. There's a lot of good things, but he's picked them up from other people. There's very little that he has written. What he has written himself is just pretty much pulling things together. It's not any new revisionist work. It's not anything what you'd call revisionism. Revisionism is not just believing things, but it is also, in my opinion, discovering and bringing forth new information in support of revisionist history. So as I was getting at, Wayne talks to people like he is an expert. He really likes being seen as an expert. And yet this one article here shows me that he doesn't know what he's talking about in some things. He's just another student trying to learn and then spread the message of what he's learned. So all power to him. I mean, good for him. It's a good thing to look at him more closely and find out just where he comes from, what he stands for, and whether he should be the leader that he's making himself out to be. So Wayne's advice to me was to get a life rather than pay so much attention to him. And I do recall that it was Rodney Martin who was always using that phrase to me, that I should get a life instead of talking about him. But I think I performed a real service in my investigations of Rodney Martin. I know how many people are now using that information, but I'm quite sure that it would never exist without my curiosity that I had to look into it. And the same with Wayne. I think that what I have done has been a benefit to the whole truth movement and to revisionism in the long run. And now I'm willing to let it set and rest until something else comes up or somebody wants to bring something up themselves. I'm all for advancing. In fact, I commend Wayne Pronta on the courage that he has shown in turning to these issues and making them his focal point when he doesn't have the benefit of living in the United States, because the laws of Canada are far harsher, and so is the laws of Germany too. So it does take a bit of courage, and I wonder at this point how he thinks he's going to handle that part. I wish that society well, actually, because somebody needs to start pushing the issue more strongly than we've been able to do so far. So I'm now bringing this program to a close. Thank you for listening. This is Carolyn Yeager on the Heretics Hour on June 6, 2015. So long.